Somebody needed to just be embraced, and somehow we found ourselves in the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
We found ourselves finding comfort just knowing that the Lord is with us in our situation.
Yes.
I often say there's no better place to be than wrapped up in the arms of the God of the universe.
Yes.
And somehow it seemed that all the power that he had and all the things that he could do, it's amazing. I want to go there for a little bit, and I want to tell you. Today I'm echoing. Sometimes it'll come across at all. Let me read that scripture from Isaiah again. This is the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Once you remain seated, let me read it to you. Let our hearts and spirits stand on the word. I'm going to ask that you sit now as I read this, because I'm going to move quickly. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord released? For he shall come grow up before him as a tender plant, listen now, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions,
yes,
he was bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah says somebody's going to take care, going to come and die and suffer for all the sins that we're guilty of. Isaiah said it clearly. He said somebody's going to have to take care of it, recognizing that we're not able to, not good enough to die for our own sins. We're worthy of sin, but dying for sin is not going to be able to cure us of our sin. Dying with our sins, we just died in our sin. We're still sinful dead folks if we died in our sin. It took something different, took something more than that. We weren't able to do it for ourselves. And Isaiah is telling us about that. Somebody's got to do it, but now who's going to do it? We know that Jesus came to die for us, but I want to talk a little bit about Jesus coming and dying for us. Because you see, when you think about it, you say, well, yeah, Jesus could do it. nothing but a God could do a thing like that. Nobody but God could come in and do what Jesus did. Nobody but God could go on the cross and do what Jesus did. But we need to recognize that when Jesus was here, all the way from Bethlehem to Calvary, there was nothing that he ever did for himself.
If
he needed water, he asked for water.
He
never did things, but he was doing miraculous things for all of those around him. But he was a man just like I am. All the way from Bethlehem to Calvary, he had blood like I do. He had pain like I do if he stumbled. He was just like me. He never did anything to take care of that pain except to do what you and I would do. He didn't take his miracles and use his miracles to do special things for himself. Think of all the things he could have done. Think of who he is. He could have done anything. He could have done all kinds of things. There was a special place for him to stay. Foxes had hope. He didn't have a place to stay. He didn't do anything special for himself as he went through this life. As he went through, he suffered pain just like you and I did. And somehow as we look at what he did and what he came to do, we realize that he was sent into the world in order to die for us. But he didn't die for us without pain. The fact that he was a God all by himself, the fact that he could do anything if he wanted to eliminate the pain by just saying, pain, go away. I'm sure he could have done that. But he didn't do any of that. He was in a body just like yours and just like mine. And all of the things that happened to him as he went through here, all the things that people did to him, that they really hurt, just like they would hurt you or me. When they beat on me, they were beating on the God of the universe. But he felt the pain, and he was going through, the suffering he was going through just like I would and just like you would. This man of God, this Jesus, was man and God, did not use the God side of himself to keep himself from suffering all that he was going through. All the things that were happening to him, he allowed it to all happen. As a matter of fact, I like the way the writer of Hebrews put it, because he says here, he says, looking to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, listen to this now, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down on the right hand of God at the throne.
That's right.
This Jesus, he suffered all of those things.
Yes,
and what did he use? Out of all the power that he had. He had some power. We know that because we saw the way that he was able to make bread and to calm the sea. He had some power. But he didn't use his power when he was put through all of the agony and all of the things out there in Jerusalem. All the things that they were doing to people that called in legions of angels. He didn't use that power. No, because he was going to do just as Isaiah had said. He was going to suffer. He was going to go through all that pain, not as a God, but as a man, just like I am. The thing that he went through, the way that he was beaten, it hurt him just like it would hurt me. But somehow, he was willing to do it. It says here, for the joy that was set before him. What joy are you talking about, Reverend? What joy can he feel when they're whipping him on his back and knocking him around? What joy can he possibly see when they're talking about him and spitting on him? All those who happen to be any joy that can even be in his life. What can he focus on when all that's going on around him? How can he possibly focus on him? He was focusing on the fact that he was going to go back to glory. He was focusing on the fact that he was going to provide salvation for you and me by carrying that cross and suffering, as Isaiah said, by his stripes, by all the suffering he was going to go that he was going through. We were going to be healed. The joy that he had wasn't in what he was feeling. The joy what he had was what he saw ahead of him. He saw that he was going to save me. He was on my way to hell. He was going to give me faith over in glory. The joy that he had was all about you, Reverend. It was all about you, Reverend. It was all about all of us who are here. It was about us having a chance to accept the salvation that he died for. He didn't die without pain. No, he was suffering, but from the joy
you know you can get through some fence and you got some joy. Here's where I am, and I'm in some pain right now. Yeah. They're nailing me to the cross, but I'm going through something right now. I'm suffering right now. The blood running down over my eyes, and they're talking about me there. They're throwing things at me. Yeah. But there's a joy in the joy. The joy of the opportunity I would have to have a time for him over in gold.
Yeah.
All that he used was his faith.
Yeah.
In the God of the universe, and his love for you and me. Faith and enduring love.
Yeah.
I would have thought that love could get torn down a little bit by some of those stripes. I would think that took that love that he had for the folks who were right there.
Yeah.
He was dying for the folks who were throwing rocks at him.
Yes, sir.
Somebody spit on him, he was saying, forgive them, Father.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were right there, and all the pain he was going through, all the suffering they were putting him through, they were putting the pain on him. He was putting the love on them.
Yeah.
They were throwing things at him. He was casting out love all over him. He's casting out love all over us right now.
Yeah.
Somehow, I guess the writer of Hebrews was putting it in terms of a race. Somehow when you're running a race, sometimes you get a little tired and you feel like, can I go one more mile?
Yeah.
Can I possibly make it? But when you go, when you continue to go, you don't look at how tired you are.
Yeah.
And you don't worry about how your legs are feeling right now. You start looking at the goal.
Yes, sir.
Jesus was looking at the goal.
Yeah.
Jesus was looking at what would he accomplish by the suffering that he was going through.
Yeah.
He didn't use the fact that he was a God to stop all of them from happening. No, he used the fact that he had been put in that position for a special reason.
Amen.
He was made to be a man so that he could really, really suffer and go through the pain that was necessary to pay for all the sins that we were going to do that he has done in our lives. My sin. Your sin.
That's right.
For the joy of lifting that sin off of me.
Yeah.
For that joy
of
giving me a chance to have eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
For that joy of happening what was going to happen here on there on that Sunday when he was going to get up just like he said he would. He's going to get up. He had some joy.
Yeah.
Satan was going to be defeated.
Yeah.
Satan had done everything he could to try to convince Jesus not to go on. He had done everything he did could to try to pull him down while Jesus was in this body.
Yeah.
While Jesus was here and had pain, suffering like you and I would, going through the same thing. But he didn't stop.
Yeah.
Because he didn't focus on what was wrong. He focused on where he was going.
Yeah.
He focused on the fact that there was something that he had to do.
Yeah.
He was focusing on my salvation.
Yeah.
He was focusing on your opportunity.
Yeah.
To have eternal life.
Amen.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross.
Amen.
Went through the pain. Went through all the suffering.
Yeah.
Allowed him to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Allowed him to do all those things in this body. He would have done miraculous things to could change anything around him. We've often said he could call in legions of angels.
That's right. That's right.
He could have had a victory right there that would be down in history as one of the most miraculous and powerful victories ever.
Yeah.
But he had a more powerful victory. He had a victory over Satan.
He had a victory over sin. Go ahead. Go.
He had a victory that cannot be compared with anything else. Because he was willing to go through it for us.
That's right.
Because he loved and trusted the God of the universe.
Yeah.
Because he loved us. His death, the pain that he went through, was because he was focusing on something that gave him joy. Our opportunity for eternal life.
Yes, sir.
Our opportunity to conclude him over in glory. On that morning when he got up, there was some celebration going on. When he got up, he accomplished. He had already on Friday. He said it's finished. What I came to do, I have accomplished.
Yes, sir.
And then on Sunday, when he got up with all power in his hands.
Yeah.
He got up letting the world know that it's real. I am real. I am real. Salvation is real.
Yeah.
All you have to do is accept it. He's run that race. But you know, as I think about it, let me just go a little further than I planned to.
Good.
And when we think about this race, you know, when you're running a race, sometimes you have the hands come off to somebody.
Come on, come on, fast.
When
come
you
on.
Get to the goal, and now somebody else is turning to run the lap.
Yeah.
I'm way out ahead. He's way out here, everybody. But he's going to stop him long enough to hand me or hand you or hand you the top. That means it's time for you to start running the race.
Come on, come on, fast.
Don't look at any time you put what you might be going through. Instead, look about what you can accomplish.
Yes, sir.
God's given to you.
Yeah.
Faith and love for those around you. I think you ought to be taking that scepter and running and telling somebody, somebody the Lord is. Somebody needs to know.
Hallelujah.
He's already run the race. The victory's already out. I believe you ought to take the scepter right now that he's given you. And not just sit down and say, I've got the victory. No, I think you ought to take the scepter. Reach out to you, put his arms around you, and let you know that you love. God loved you enough to die for you. He loved you so much that he carried that cross. He loved you so much that he was willing to do all of that thing for the joy of knowing you would get him through. He's done his part. You know what? All that's left is for you to accept that salvation. You could not it just by saying yes to the Lord. Is there somebody who has not accepted him as Lord and Savior? Somebody knows that he's real. Do you see what he's done? Do you watch the works in the lives of those around you? You know that when you call on him, he answers, but somehow you haven't said yes to him.